This is Messenger Insight, a podcast program brought to you by Oklahoma Baptist and the Baptist Messenger.
Welcome to the Insight Podcast. I'm Chris Forbes, your host. Today, we have a conversation about the next generation Latino ministry in Oklahoma, and it's a two-part series that I think you're going to really want to listen to both parts of this because there are a lot of insights that you're going to want to think through and pray about, and we'll get started with part one. Welcome to the Insight Podcast. I'm Chris Forbes, your host. Today, we have a conversation about the next generation Latino ministry in Oklahoma. And we have ministry leaders here joining us. We have Luis Ruiz, Hispanic pastor of Shields Boulevard Baptist Church in Oklahoma City. We have Pablo Vila, pastor of Iglesia Bautista de Southern Hills. And we have Misael Gonzalez from First Baptist Owosso. He's the bilingual teaching pastor. Welcome to the podcast, gentlemen.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, this is an exciting for me because of just being an observer of demographics and trends within Oklahoma. And I just wanted us to cover this topic and talk about the exciting community that is the Latino community in Oklahoma. Particularly, I'm more familiar with Oklahoma City metro area, but we also have Owosso, Tulsa area. So just wanted to, just for people to get to know you, those who may be listening or are viewing this and haven't met you, could you just tell a little bit about yourself and your ministry, your family, anything like that?
Okay, I'll go ahead and get us started. I am the Spanish Hispanic pastor at Shields Boulevard Baptist Church. We are located at Southeast 36th and Shields. Mm-hmm. We are in the heart of the Hispanic neighborhood. Mm-hmm. This neighborhood has really transformed itself to a Hispanic neighborhood. So there's a lot of work to be done there. I am married. I have a beautiful wife named Rosalba, who is my ministry partner. Her and I do a lot of ministry work together. She's really my my connection. She's my internet person. She's my social media person. I'm not very familiar with the social media thing, so you know, she is my media outreach. You know, so I'm very, very fortunate to have her with me. We are a new ministry in the South Shields Boulevard area. We have been around for about a year, thanks to Pastor Gary Boswick, who has given us an opportunity to be able to start a ministry in that area who desperately needs to be reached. You know, they need to hear the word of God. We're in a heavily gang-involved area, heavy drug use area, which, you know, God puts us strategically in places for us to be able to do his work. You know, one day we'll share our testimony and you'll get a chance to see why this area is so important to me, why it's so important to the ministry. So we're serving the Lord in every aspect. Whatever God wants us to do, we are pushing forward. So,
amen.
Amen. I'm Paula. I get to serve as the Hispanic pastor at Southern Hills Baptist Church. The Hispanic ministry at Southern Hills, God has blessed us to be able to celebrate this last Sunday, our six-year anniversary. Oh, so the Lord has been blessing this ministry for the past 6 years. My dad served as the pastor that started the ministry, and I've been able to serve in this ministry for the past 3 months. So I'm still
3 months.
A baby pastor.
Nice.
But I've been a member of Southern Hills for the past 6 years in the Hispanic ministry, went through youth group, college ministry, served there as a college minister all of 2020, and then the Lord guided into the Hispanic ministry, and he's been good. He's been good to our church, to be able to celebrate 6 months of ministry and to just look forward to the next 6, 12, and hopefully many more years that the Lord will give us. I've been married for, it'll be a year next month,
okay.
May 30th. It'll be a year. So,
year,
baby pastor, baby married guy.
Gosh, everything.
Everything near. No, not there. Not there yet. We have a dog. My wife's name's Kate, and she's awesome. She doesn't handle my social media. She handles my emotions. I'm not an emotional person, so she helps me relate to people and not just be
that's fair.
Too black or white. But she's awesome. The Lord has blessed me with her. And yeah, we have a little dog, 7-month-old dog.
Wow, baby dog.
Yeah, baby dog too. Baby everything.
So everything baby is brand new.
That's right.
That's good. Man. Well, again, Misael Gonzalez, the bilingual teaching pastor. Paulo and I graduated together from OBU, so that was awesome.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I've been in my position for about 10 months. It'll be 1 year in June, June 14th, I'm pretty sure is the date, and or June 17th. I don't remember. It's one of those. But I've been there. I'm not married yet. My wife is out there somewhere. Just haven't found her yet. So that's incredible, and I love it. But, you know, it's so true what Paul says about doing ministry when you're single. There's just so much you can do. And I've just been taking advantage of it and saying, Lord, what would you have me do in this season of life?
Right.
So it's been so incredible. And I love what I do because I get to do ministry in English and in Spanish. Mm-hmm. And so I get to kind of walk that divide of like, okay, Lord, you've allowed me to be in these two cultures and know both cultures.
Right.
Now, how can I walk in that and kind of pull some people together, which, well, we'll talk about here in a moment. But
yeah.
I'm grateful to be there. Grateful for my staff. I love them so much.
Yeah.
And it's a great team.
So let's, like, you talk about your ministry. How did you guys get called into ministry? How did you know that the Lord was calling you specifically where you are serving now?
Well, as we talked about earlier this morning, my situation is a little bit different than these two gentlemen here. I wasn't called at a young age. I was called later in my years through my troubles, through my life experiences, you know, through a lot of heartache, through a lot of struggles and situations. The Lord made a calling on my life that I never thought that it would be possible just because of the life that I had lived up to that point.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, God found mercy upon me. He really sought me out. And when the calling came, I knew for sure that God wanted me to be to preach the gospel. So I think for a lot of years, God was calling me through my situations, and I just never really answered the call until this past time, which I was in prison. God came to my life and really called me, and now here we are serving the Lord. So
that is so cool.
Yeah, so
I didn't know that.
That was awesome. Mm-hmm. I was raised a preacher's son, so I wanted to make sure that whatever God called me to was not ministry. And he has a good sense of humor and a better plan for our lives.
That's right.
So yeah, I was set to be an engineer. That's what I wanted to go to college for. And throughout my senior year, I started to feel this pull and tug of like, maybe that's not what I'm supposed to do with my life.
Yeah.
And you just kept denying it. It's like, nah, don't even worry about it. Didn't talk to anyone about it. But I mean, it just kept going on. Started praying about it.
Mm-hmm.
And after praying about it for a little bit, and I think with a month left to graduate high school, I went to my parents, I went to my youth pastor and my pastor, and I told them, I think the Lord's calling me to ministry. And one after another, they just affirmed that call in my life. So yeah, then went to OBU to prepare.
Yeah.
And from that point on, the Lord has, man, he's been good. He's blessed. And he's provided opportunities to just affirm that call from preaching the worst sermon possible in freshman chapel in 2016.
You did great. I actually led worship at that chapel.
You did lead worship in that chapel.
It was so funny.
To serving in the youth ministry at Southern Hills and then being able to work at OBU in different churches and then be able to serve in Southern Hills as a college minister for a year. And now the Lord opening that door and being good enough to allow me to serve in full-time ministry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, you did great at that chapel, okay? You're fine.
I don't think it's recorded, so I'm glad.
So
we need to look it up.
Right? We really do. Hey, everybody. So long story short, I should have been born dead or deformed. And so in the womb, the Lord saved me physically. And at 7, the Lord saved me spiritually. And then at 16, I had this crazy clear encounter with the Lord where I just so felt him pulling me to use all of what I have and all of who made me to be to serve him. And I was like, what does that even mean? I don't even know. Like, I grew up in this little Hispanic church. I was like, I only know what a pastor is. I don't even know what deacons are. Like, what is that? But in that whole process, the Lord put me in the most uncomfortable situations. Like after praying that, saying, okay, God, use me, 2 weeks later, I'm like leading worship with my little Spanish guitar with my foot on the stool and just going at it. Like, I don't even know what I was doing. But the Lord had led me, and even like that chapel, the Lord used in my life to use music to serve Him and to be an associate pastor, a worship pastor, and now where I'm at right now. But it's always been like, Lord, I don't know what I'm doing. Please guide me. And that's been my whole story since the beginning.
Well, thank you for sharing your story. And we do need to dig that recording up and maybe that dig right? up, see if we can get a recording of right, your first girl. One.
That'd be hilarious.
I would hate to hear what I actually first devotional anything I ever preached.
I have mine recorded. I try not to look at it. Our first one.
So, you know, I'm very interested in research and demographics, and that's one of the areas because of marketing. I'm just curious about the changes in our community and how Oklahoma Baptists can position themselves to better serve the communities. And looking at, you know, a lot of people think of, you know, the Hispanic world as, in Oklahoma as immigration, you know. And that's true. That's a big part of it. Immigration and the Hispanic population is growing in Oklahoma. But really, research shows that 60% of Latinos in Oklahoma were born here or raised here. And so that's really – and then also that they don't necessarily speak Spanish. English is their language. So I was wondering if we could just take a minute to talk about the, you know, what is the community, Latino community in your experience in the metro area? You're in Owosso, you're in Oklahoma City.
Well, I think that in our specific area where we are located, we do have a lot of third generation non-Spanish speakers. Mm-hmm. The challenge that we face going into a new ministry like ourselves, it's really not. I happen to be a bilingual pastor, which means that I can relate to both of the spectrums from the English speaking to the non-English speaking side. But there is a challenge from parents that are saying, you know, we want to come to church, mm-hmm. and we want to be able to join you. We're solely Spanish speakers, but our kids don't speak any Spanish. Yep. Yeah. So do you have accommodations for both of us? And then we have the challenge after that. That, yes, we have the accommodations for you, but it's in the Anglo side mm-hmm. of the church. And some of our kids are saying, well, you know, we're culturally not in the same place. Mm-hmm. So then you have the cultural difference that you have to tackle on after that. Mm-hmm. So you break the language barrier, and now you have the cultural barrier. Mm-hmm. So it has been a challenge for us. We have been able to work, you know, obviously, God is the one that takes control of that situation. We allow God to work into both of the ministries because we are joint ministry. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, mm-hmm. the English side and the Spanish side, we function as one. That's right. So, you know, yeah, we function as one because we have to. The church is in a prime location, but we have to reach out to both sides. We can't just cater to one right. and leave the other out. So, you know, we have strategically placed our Spanish kids mm-hmm. and try to mix in with the rest of the kids so we can kind of have that culture, erase that cultural difference, if you will, so we don't have such issues in our churches.
That's good. Yeah. We've seen a lot in our church. Most of our members are actually first and second generation. So the second, third generation is something that I hadn't even thought about that much mm-hmm. until this last year and a half where we have seen that shift right. of like members that are saying, hey, my kids just don't speak
Spanish.
Any right. Spanish. Or like even yeah. members, like we've started doing studies and we have a lot of members that speak Spanish but can't read books in Spanish.
That's right. Yep,
but
that's
they
right.
read it in English.
Yep.
So starting to offer, okay, we're going to be studying this book and we're going to have to buy copies in Spanish and in English so that you can read and then come to Spanish study mm-hmm. And be able to provide opportunities for young and old of different generations mm-hmm. And even just evangelistically, like when we're trying to reach our culture, this last Saturday, a couple of our members came with me to go to some soccer games because a lot of the parents there were Hispanic, so we wanted to invite them. And I was coaching one team, and while I was coaching, I asked them to go and invite the parents over. And afterwards, they were like, most of them didn't know Spanish. Like, they kind of know Spanish, mm-hmm. but most of them mm-hmm. didn't want to come to the Hispanic yeah. church because they didn't feel comfortable speaking Spanish. So yeah. it's definitely a new barrier that we got to try to figure out to adapt to a Hispanic culture that is more and more speaking English without ignoring the immigration side of those first generation that are coming and are still speaking Spanish and just finding that in between.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm glad you highlighted that because when we think about second, third generation, we can't forget about the first generation because they are the kids of those generations. Yeah. And then you highlighted how it's like, how can we do both?
Right.
And what we're doing is actually redefining what it means to be Hispanic. You see, I've seen even in our own convention highlighting these budgets where it's like men's ministry, women's ministry, kids ministry, and you have Hispanic and ethnic ministry as budgets. And I'm like, wait a second. Are you telling me that these Hispanics or ethnic people, whatever that even means, they're not kids, women, men?
Yeah.
Like, if you're trying to highlight Spanish, well, that's different, but you're speaking to Hispanics who can speak both languages, and that's what we see.
Yeah.
We look at statistics. You said you love statistics. In Tulsa, there are areas in Tulsa that are 76% Hispanic or more.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like multiple.
Right.
We look at the entire Oklahoma. You probably know this. There is a NAM specialist who did research that there is roughly about 300,000 English and Spanish-speaking Hispanics in Oklahoma, and there's more coming because of what's happening at the border.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Whether you lean this way or this way, they're here. That's like, I literally just met someone 2 days ago that just came.
Yeah.
And you look at all the people that are in our churches, whether it's English or Spanish-speaking churches, I mean, there's, like, maybe less than 1,000 Hispanic members in churches. Like, to get to 1%, we need 3,000 members. So we are reaching less than 1% of Hispanics in the Oklahoma area.
Right.
And so I just think we're late. I think the church is late because when you think of our families are probably bilingual. And bilingual families equals bilingual stores, bilingual markets. Our cities see that we're bilingual.
Right.
And you go to open a water bill. Like, I just, almost a year ago, went into my house and I had to open up a water bill. Mm-hmm. They had English and Spanish. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
Everybody sees it.
Right.
And why is the church late?
Yeah.
And so we really need to think about that because we do have these students and and that's what's fascinating is you're probably seeing this as well, and tell me if I'm wrong, but we're just now seeing that second, third generation become adults.
Right.
Now, you go to California, they have like 10th generation.
Well, I have a family in New Mexico.
Yeah.
New Mexico is already at the third generation.
Yeah.
I have a cousin who serves at a church. It's a Hispanic church with an English-speaking service.
Yeah.
So they're already at that point where it's completely Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else is done in a Spanish way.
Yeah.
The culture, the celebrations, the this and that. And the preaching is solely in English.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not quite there yet. We're still in the first generation. We have to cater to the first generation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because as you know, in order to draw the second and third, you have to draw the first.
Yes.
That's right.
You know, you cannot just go after the second and third because most of the times parents nowadays are looking for a place for their children to be able to grow.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we should be looking for is the second and third generation after, you know, because eventually these are going to be the ones who are going to serve in our churches.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, so we have to be able to figure out how to cross that boundary and be able to equally serve both.
I had one of my first ministries was cross-cultural for me. I was an English pastor in a Chinese church. Mm-hmm. I'd been working with international students and found out about this opportunity to serve as an English pastor. And what I realized was that kids, you know, they may speak Chinese at home, but they don't like the Bible and you know, Chinese or you know, they're very much Chinese kids, but also they're very much American culture or, you know. So when I came here to Oklahoma, I realized, you know, like I went to, because I was a missionary in Spain, I was trying to keep my Spanish, which I haven't really done very well job of. But anyway, so I go visit a church and I realize the young people are just kind of outside. And that's something that pastors are beginning to realize that there isn't, you know, this relevant ministry for them in a lot of churches, and it can't be because the language barrier of the leaders.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that need for that second generation. Like I was part of that for the Chinese church, part of this temporary solution to that situation. But, you know, when people look at the Latino church and they say, well, you know, the kids, they can just go to an English church, but then you're breaking up an essential component of Latino culture, the family.
Yeah, that's right.
And you're separating kids and parents and, you know, and all those things. Can you talk a little bit about, like, you know, what are the elements in your experience with Latino culture that really require for, even though a person speaks English perfectly, why they would be attracted to a Latino culture ministry in English?
I believe it all starts at home. I mean, you know, this is what we're raised in. Even though we do live in the same state, even though we go to school at the same places, I still think there's a there's a deep Hispanic Latino culture that is embedded in us from the beginning. That is kind of it's something that we can't relate. Unless it seems like we can't relate unless it's someone that has been there in the same situation as us. What we have in our situation in our neighborhood, because of the demographics, because of the activity that goes on to our neighborhood, is really hard for us. We're in a gang, a gang infested neighborhood, so to speak. So it's really hard for them to relate to somebody who hasn't experienced some of those things when some of those people who are coming into our church are not even from that particular neighborhood.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So our the other side of our church, who does all the youth groups, they're not even from the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. They're outside coming into a neighborhood church. Mm-hmm. Some of those people don't even live in those places anymore. So it's really hard for them to culturally relate to those people who are not even part of that neighborhood to begin with. So that's the challenge that we face. As this happens to be the case in most of the churches, that some of the people who attend the church, members of that church, don't necessarily live on that particular community.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and I think just like you said, there's something that feels like home, even if the language is different. Most second and third generation will still use some words or expressions in Spanish or the Spanglish that they'll speak. Man, with my assistant at the church, we speak Spanglish. We between ourselves, but there's that security and that home-like feeling of, we can do this. We can speak in English and Spanish and change whatever word comes to my mind. I'll say it, and I know you'll understand me.
That's right.
But then, not only from that, but even silly things as music taste or seeing people next to you that look the same, or even the food that you eat when you have gathering.
That's and right.
Everyone's preparing still very different foods, because Venezuela doesn't have the same food as Mexico or Colombia.
Right.
But it's a Hispanic-style meal. And obviously there's beauty in being able to look across the pew and see someone that doesn't look like you. I think that's beautiful, and that's something we should strive for. But we obviously feel comforted by seeing at least people around us that have shared experiences and have the same sense of home. Yeah. Now, obviously, as Christians, we have a final sense of home that doesn't depend on Hispanic or Anglo or Black or any other taste or home-like feeling, but the beauty of heaven and what is to come.
Yeah.
And so we do need to find that balance of, we are a second, third generation, but that doesn't mean we need to just exclude, but find that gap.
Right.
Like, we are brothers and sisters. We have different preferences. Mm-hmm. How can we all worship together and just see ourselves as brothers and sisters?
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah. That's really good. You know, it's always fascinating the difference of how I view food and how my friends who are not Hispanic view food. Like, they eat food. I value food. You know what I mean? There's a difference. Because, like, they'll come to my house, and my mom, that's the first thing. Hey, what do you want to eat? You know, boom, 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 boom. I go to their house, and they're like, yeah, there might be some, like, Lunchables in the fridge. And I'm like, what? Come on.
So Lunchables it's even, in the fridge.
No, seriously. It's like, what? And so I always say, hey, you guys eat food. I value food.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think one thing that we can really highlight from this conversation is that whether we like it or not, whether we think it's a reality or not, it is that there is a value with someone on the platform looking like you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you right now went to a place, to an area in the world that had nobody that looked like you, and you were looking for a church, and there's five churches that were exactly the same, biblically sound, you love the music, all these things, but there is one pastor that looked like you.
Right.
If I was a betting man, and I'm not, but if I was, I'd probably say that's where you would end up. Because yeah. there was someone on the platform that looked like you. And honestly, this didn't hit me until I went to the Southern Baptist Convention in Dallas. I went to the Southern Baptist Convention in Dallas. It was my first one ever. I was so excited. I was like, man, I'm probably going to see so many Hispanics. I get there and I was like, am I the only one? Like on the stage, walking around, right. I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
And there was that moment where the Lord put like a burning passion in me to pray and saying, Lord, will you raise up leaders
Amen.
that are, yes, Hispanic, but even other ethnicities and other cultures, because there is a value of being unified even though we're different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
there is this beauty in diversity, but also Paul says it's more beautiful to have unity amongst diversity.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of what we see and what I'm praying for of like, Lord, like where are they? And will you develop them? And if we're some of them, awesome. If mm-hmm. we're some of them who develop others, that's amazing.
That's right.
But we have to have those people on that platform. And we have to be mindful of that, of saying who's in our community and is our church and our leaders looking at that community mm-hmm. in order to understand where they're coming from, speak the language, even if it is Spanglish,
yeah, right.
that they're speaking. I think that's such an important value to learn from all of this when it comes to that.
Are you finding that second and third generation are receptive to the gospel and to your outreach?
I believe so. I believe that again, if it starts, like I said, once again, I'm going to refer to it starts back at the first generation. I think that a lot of this, the first generation of Christians who are coming in the Latino churches, are starting to really get active. It seems like here in the recent months or so, we've seen an uplift of parents really interested in the ministry of their children. Mm-hmm. We haven't had that when we first started. It was kind of more of we'll try to get our kids out here. Now it's more of, hey, listen, what do we have for our children? We've got to get our mm-hmm. children involved. Mm-hmm. We're bringing in these new kids who are excited about the ministry. Mm-hmm. Of course, it all depends on the leadership. How creative are we with our ministry? Mm-hmm. What are we doing to really reach out and grab attention from these younger generations? Right. We're fighting against a lot of elements. The internet, the Facebook, mm-hmm. the Googles, right. your PlayStations, all these things. We as pastors have to get creative on yeah. how we can reach these children unto the ministry.
Right.
And I believe that we start with the parents. You know, we work a lot with the parents. We're getting the parents excited about bringing your children. What does the church offer mm-hmm. to this younger second and third generation mm-hmm. is something that we have to get creative with. Yeah. So I don't think that it's – I think that the desire is there. I think it just solely depends mm-hmm. on us.
Yeah.
That's good.
And I think, just going back on what Misael said at the beginning, that idea of the church might have been late. I do think there's a gap right now, but I don't think it's because they're second or third Hispanic generation, but just because that second generation is now hitting like those late college years, yeah, to young like, adult age,
yeah.
in which yeah. they hadn't been reached in uh-huh. their kid ministry and youth ministry. And it's not because they're Hispanic at all, but just because they weren't reached then, mm-hmm. and now they're out in the community. And mm-hmm. as we're seeing just this push for all sorts of things that our culture is pushing for, I think that generation might be more hesitant, mm-hmm. but not because of being a second or third generation. No. Mm-hmm. I do see, especially now in our families, our kids and our youth kids, mm-hmm. they're more excited than the parents sometimes. There's some kids yeah. that are bringing our parents to church.
That is so true.
And so, yeah. so it is starting in a family and starting with yeah. our parents and saying, hey, ministry starts at the church. Mm-hmm. It starts at the home, sorry.
That's right. Yeah.
It's not That's Sundays right. and Wednesdays. It's no, so every day. You guys are leading your family yeah. and putting that pressure on them. And if the kids are seeing the parents pursue Christ, they're going to want to pursue Christ just as hard. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Mm. That's good. When we think about the 60% that you're talking about in Oklahoma City and the 70-something percent we're talking about in Tulsa, I can guarantee that those are bilingual families. Whether some just speak Spanish and some Sure. just speak English, they're bilingual families. So what we're talking about right now is communicating in such a way that they can understand, mm-hmm. which is, yes, their language, some of the culture, but the language. Mm-hmm. When I look at the second and third generation, and tell me if I'm wrong, but what I'm seeing is that second and third generation Hispanics might be some of the, when I'm talking about students, might be some of the loneliest students I know. They feel like outcasts in the home because my parents who came from Mexico or Honduras or Guatemala don't understand me. Mm-hmm. They go to school. Man, they don't understand me either because they're not from my home. Right. They don't know where I'm coming from. And then they go to youth group. They feel the same thing. Mm-hmm. I have seen and experienced myself and in others where they go to the Anglo youth group.
Right.
And yeah, they're there. But then once they all go hang out, they're just sitting in the corner by themselves or they're outside just sitting there.
That's right.
They feel lonely. Mm-hmm. So what's the best way to reach them that I have found out? I was just telling Pablo about that just this month, the Lord has allowed me to have the opportunity to share Christ with two youth students. And I'm not even a youth guy, but I just, they're two Hispanic youth students and led them to the Lord. They're like, man, this is awesome. I need Jesus. And I was like, yes, you do. I do too. be their friend. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How do you reach second and third generation? Be their friend.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
They're lonely. Mm-hmm. Be there. And so as I just think about that, man, I just, not just Hispanics, because if Hispanics are the only one thinking about Hispanics, we will fail.
That's right.
Yeah. All of us need to be thinking about our community, whatever that community looks like, be their friend.
Yeah.
I think when you talk about communities, I think it's very important to understand and know your community.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, that's one of the things that you really can't have a plan of attack if you haven't really got to know what you're working with.
Yes.
You know, me and my wife like to drive through our neighborhood of our church, and we like to really, you know, take a, you know, we pray, obviously, and you know, and we start to really look and see what's out there, who's moving, who's coming in, who's coming out, what has changed in our neighborhood that's prohibiting these people from coming to church. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What are we doing as a church that is not attractive enough for them to come see us?
Yeah.
You know, I think a lot of times we can focus on the Spanish and the English. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, it starts with what is it that we need to do to unite the both? Because at the end of the day, if you're in a mixed neighborhood, they're living together already.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, and they're together everywhere else.
Yeah.
Their jobs and school.
Exactly.
And I heard this once.
Say
there's no division. It doesn't matter where ethnicity you are or what language you speak if you're all cheering for the same football team.
That's right.
Right. Yeah.
Like we can sit together and we have a common goal and we're excited. And I don't care where you're from. I don't care what language you speak. We got a common goal. Mm-hmm. And that's what's so important. Like as believers, we have a common goal.
That's right.
Amen. That's now, right. We do.
And keep that emphasis and passion. Like if some of our members had the same passion towards the gospel than we did towards a soccer game or a football game.
Yes.
Like, this would be an awesome thing that we could see.
Yeah.
Obviously, still attending the meetings.
Maybe we should have a church soccer league.
Right.
Oh, yeah, no, that might cause more issues than
that. That might cause more divisions than unity.
I will say, though, how many churches actually do demographic work? Because I came in to an established church like First Baptist Church Owosso and began to do demographic work. They're like, oh, yeah, we haven't done this in a long time. Mm. And I was like, yeah, you guys have been guessing, but here's the reality. And they're like, oh, wow.
Right.
And so that's super important.
Well, that's, you know, and that's a good point because when several months or years ago, Quail Springs did a demographic study of their area and found that the Hispanic population had grown by 3,000%. And now we have Iglesia Bautista Central.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right there. One of the flagship Hispanic churches in Oklahoma because of the, you know, the church doing the demographics and providing a space for ministry and freedom to lead those ministries.
And, I mean, just to praise the Lord on Iglesia Bautista Central and what he's doing in that church, this last Sunday they had their first service for an English-speaking Hispanic ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And so you saw Quail Springs planting a Hispanic ministry that then grew and planted an English-speaking Hispanic ministry. And I think churches are waking up and we're starting to provide for that need of second and third generation. And Iglesia Bautista Central is definitely leading in that way. And I praise the Lord for them and their pastors and what they're doing.
Yeah. That's right. Well, may their tribe increase.
Amen.
Yes, yeah. Amen. Well, gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. It's been a great conversation, and I've learned a lot. I hope that Oklahoma Baptists, as they listen, will know how to pray better for young Hispanic leaders in our community, and how churches can be, like, do the demographics and, you know, be more aware of the opportunities for ministry. Thank you again for joining us.
Yeah,
thank you for having us.
And thank you for joining us. If you enjoyed this discussion, we have more just like it at our website at baptistmessenger.com, or you can look for our podcast. Just search for Baptist Messenger wherever you download podcasts. And while you're at baptistmessenger.com, consider subscribing to our print newspaper. It's free, and you can get it for yourself or your church members. Thank you. God bless.
This Messenger Insight has been brought to you by the Cooperative Program and Oklahoma Baptists. Visit us at baptistmessenger.com or your preferred podcast platform. Oklahoma Baptists, advancing the gospel together.